White, J.E. White, Emma. George's Terrace, St. Kilda Road, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. January 14, 1894. Dear children, I have written you sometimes here, sometimes on the campgrounds, and in jots and tittles. I am obliged to come every other day 5 miles to the school buildings to get an opportunity to take baths and other necessary treatment. I carry my writing wherever I go, and I am afraid when I come to look it up it will be a puzzle to find it. I have studied carefully how I could assist you to go through the school. I do not want you to go to labor with Elder Kilgore. You want the Bible school first, and whatever you need to take you through, I am ready to let you have. I thought, as I am sending some testimonies of reproof to the Review and Herald office, I would not have those who are attending to my business have any occasion to conjecture and misconstrue my efforts to help them, and thus present temptations before their minds. So I have entered into an understanding with Sister Hall, giving her orders to collect certain money of the Review and Herald, and she pass it into your hands. Please keep this to yourself. I want you to improve this opportunity to receive all the knowledge possible on Bible subjects, that you may be qualified to teach others. Do not give up this plan, I beseech of you. Elder Kilgore is not the one for you to work with. He is too loose and careless in many respects. I think much of Elder Kilgore, but there are ways which will open before you whereby you can work right in Battle Creek. Keep your eyes single to the glory of God. Although you may not be treated in a wise, Christ-like way, do not let this discourage you, but consider Jesus was not appreciated. He was pure, holy, and undefiled. He is our example in all things. Blessed is he that endureth temptation. Do not fall under any temptation. Press to the light, walk in the light, cherish light, and be not discouraged. We must all bring the meekness and lowliness of Christ into our practical life. We will wait to see what the Lord has for us and walk in his way and do his will. If you unite yourself only with a company who are frail, fallible beings, and expect they will tow you along by their power and influence, you will certainly fail of reaching heaven. Unite your heart in clinging faith to the friend of sinners. I have had strong assurance that you had earnestly united your heart in clinging faith to Jesus Christ, joining your weakness to his strength, your ignorance to his wisdom, your unworthiness to his merits, your frailty to his enduring might, and your poverty to his boundless wealth. When you read the word, what do you find there? Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. The devil will say to you, whatsoever he saith to you, delay it. May the Lord in his mercy keep you from every false step. Campground, January 15th. Emily and I rode to the ground 5 miles in our phaeton. We had quite heavy showers. Appointment was out for me to speak. I did not feel well and wished to have someone take my place, but was persuaded to fill my appointment. They said I could speak short, and so I consented. We thought there would not be many outsiders present as showers were frequent, but what was my astonishment to see a tent literally packed. And still they came, until our brethren had to give their seats to the strangers, and a wall of people was around the tent on the outside. I spoke on Christ riding into Jerusalem, and the people listened with greatest attention. At every preaching service, it is very much the same way. There could not have been less than 1,500 Sunday afternoon. We see no abatement of the interest. Sabbath, some of the most important men, one the chief physician of Melbourne, were out to hear Mrs. White. The Lord gave me great freedom. His Holy Spirit was in the meeting, convicting minds. 6 souls from the Congregational Church in Brighton kept their first Sabbath. They are excellent people. The congregational minister feels deeply stirred, and he told his people he would preach in regard to Adventists Sunday evening. Brethren Hickox, Colcord, and Starr were present to hear his discourse. This is Monday morning, and I have not heard the result. Last night Corliss spoke with much power and clearness upon the righteousness of Christ in the law. All I have heard speak of it say it was an able discourse, and the tent was full, crowded, and a large number were standing in and outside the tent. All this is the work of God and is marvelous in our eyes.
We know now what to expect every afternoon in the week, a crowded tent. Seats have been made, just as many as could be crowded together. And then seats have been set by the side of the tent, all around the wall, and seats outside. We know the Lord is here in this encampment. Oh, that our prayers may go up, mingled with faith, to lay hold upon the throne of God. The people are not the rabble, but the very best of society. 150 outsiders took their supper between afternoon and evening meetings. They had come from quite a distance and did not want to miss the evening meeting. The expressions of the hearers are many, but all show they appreciate the discourses highly. Poor, hungry, starving souls, hungering for the bread of life and for the water of salvation. We see the interest in no way is abating. From the Congregational Church, an invitation was given by 20 young men for Brother McCullough to come and hear a talk in reference to the Sunday Sabbath. He went. He said a young man spoke, a fluent, able speaker. Brother McCullough talked with them and then asked them to come up to his tent Tuesday evening. Brother Starr and himself will listen to their points 1/2 hour, and then they must patiently listen to hear them explain these points and not interrupt them, because then there would be confusion. They agreed to this. So you see, the work is going forward. The interest is getting to be real and more decided. Many souls are convicted, and many, we sincerely hope, will be converted soundly to the truth. There is an interest I have not witnessed in any of our camp meetings in America. On several occasions there have been large numbers out to hear, and they appeared as spectators. But it is more than this here. January 19th. Yesterday I spoke twice, 1 hour in early morning meeting and 1 hour in 9 o'clock meeting, in the interest of the school. When it was said my hour was up, the hearers cried out, "Go on, we want to hear." I knew that there was another meeting to follow and would not crowd upon that. All were intensely interested and felt not much pleased to have me stop. I slept little last night and am not very well prepared to close up American Mail. I hope, children, you will not be discouraged, and when trials come, sink under them. I am praying for you that the Lord will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to endure. You have begun to learn the lesson of trusting God. Continue to trust and never let go. The hand of Christ has hold of you. That hand never lets go. Trust in Christ by living faith. Hold fast to Jesus. Make Him your sufficiency, your all. Look alone to Jesus. He will be your helper and your God, your front guard and your rearward. Walk in faith. Keep up good courage. Walk humbly, trustingly, and you will then walk surely. Do not allow a wrong feeling to rise in your heart or be expressed by your lips. Jesus knows it all. He will work for you if you will walk by faith. Put yourself into His hands and wait patiently for the Lord to open ways before you. Make no hasty, rash moves. Your leader will take you by His side. Never forget that God has a work for you to do. Do all in your power to keep in the channel of light, that Satan shall not encompass you with his darkness. I am thankful that you are tasting of the love of God, feeding on the precious promises. He can uplift, He can bless, He can cheer you and make you a blessing to others. In much love, Mother.